picking up from in December. Myrrh was for sacrifice, sorrow, pain, death, and romance. 10 out of the 11 verses where myrrh is mentioned by its exact name in the Old Testament are about romance. It is mentioned in Psalm 45, Proverbs 7, Esther 2, and 8 times in the Song of Solomon, including, "My beloved is to me a sachet of myrrh. My hands dripped with myrrh, and his lips are lilies dripping with myrrh." And then there is Exodus 30, with myrrh as an ingredient in anointing oil. And so Nicodemus came bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes about 75 pounds in weight. The myrrh here provides the other bookend for Jesus' life, balancing in Bethlehem when the wise men came bringing gold, frankincense, and myrrh to acknowledge him as their king, to bow down and worship him as God, and to mark him as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, the suffering servant of Isaiah 52 and 53, by whose stripes we are healed. But there is more. Myrrh was put in place way back in Exodus, out in the wilderness, where God was bringing his people through to the promised land. It's the first ingredient in the anointing oil, which was to be poured over the head of the priest, as well as over the head of the prophet and the king. It marked the priest as the intercessor, the one who was to pray for the people, to make sacrifice for their sins, and to pronounce the forgiveness of God. Why? Because we needed for someone to make intercession for us. Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. And whether they completely understand it or not, Joseph and Nicodemus they're recognizing Jesus here as the one who prayed for us. And we needed his prayers. And we needed someone to bring a sacrifice for our sins. We needed a Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world, because we have gone wrong. We have not followed his commandments. We have not followed his will. And we see that truth out there in the world, in the violence that happens, including, of course, today, the terror attack outside the British Parliament. And we see it inside. We see it in the temptations we have so hard a time resisting. And we see it in the pride and stubbornness we find ourselves living out. We need this intercessor, because it begins to dawn on us finally that we have not just gotten life wrong. We have not just gotten attitudes wrong. We have gotten religion itself wrong. We should have given to God our obedience. We should have given to him faith. But right from the beginning, we have not. We have not listened, heard, and treasured his word with hearts full of faith and lives full of righteousness. And no matter how hard we tried, we fell short. And no matter how many patterns of spirituality we came up with, we've only gotten worse and more stubborn and more prideful. And so it became time for God to turn everything backward and turn religion itself upside down. Instead of the religion of the righteous shall live and the guilty soul shall die, it became time for the righteous to die and the guilty soul to live. And that is what he did in Jesus. It is his religion, marked by the myrrh. The myrrh of the anointing oil for the office of Christ to be the intercessor, to be the great priest, to be the sacrifice. It's the myrrh of what was involved in the priestly office. The suffering of the righteous, the Lamb of God who willingly gave himself into death. And there, he shatters death itself as he shatters all our pretenses of religion. Myrrh is the mark of the priestly office. The priestly office where the lamb is led to the slaughter, where the sheep is silent, where he is struck down for the transgression of my people, where he pours out his soul in death, where he sprinkles many nations so that kings shut their mouths and many are astonished. And each one of those quotes is from Isaiah 52 and 53. This is the mark of the priestly office, to intercede, to go between you and God in his holiness, to bring the sacrifice for you to God and the forgiveness from God to you. And he does it in his own flesh. Unlike the priests of the Old Testament who had no holiness in themselves to bring, who had instead to bring a sacrifice that simply gave them a picture about the Lamb of God, the one who was still to come. This is the mark of the priestly office, this myrrh. The mark of the priestly office where the one true priest goes there for you so your soul may live and your body be raised, putting himself in your place so he can put you in his place. And now we bring things full circle. Because in this myrrh is also the mark of the one great romance. From heaven he came and sought her to be his holy bride. With his own blood he bought her, and for her life he died. The marking of the myrrh tells us to look forward to the fullness of the romance, the fulfilling. When the reality of the empty tomb finally sweeps through all creation and Jesus and his bride, the church, are united forever in that complete and full resurrection of the dead. Jesus' name, amen. We rise.